Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
I've been a pastor a while, but before that I did other things. And over the years, I've met lots of people, and both in church and out of church, that ask this question that I want to have a look at this morning. And really, I think, struggle with the answers that we give as a church. But I just want to, I hope this morning, and with God's help, I hope take us on a bit of a journey. And the question is, or the questions are these. It's like, you say, well, why do I need forgiving? You talk about forgiveness, the church offers forgiveness, but I don't feel like I need forgiving. I don't feel bad, or, you know, I don't feel that bad. I've lived a good life. How many times have you talked to your friends or colleagues, or perhaps you sat here this morning and you're going, yeah, well, that's true. You know, I'm quite good. I'm quite a good person. Why would I need forgiving? Especially, why would anybody have to die for me? I mean, I'm not that bad. I mean, if I killed somebody, maybe if I'd raped somebody, if I'd done some really bad stuff, then maybe. But, you know, what's the worst thing I've done? Well, I've probably told a lie, maybe. I'll probably accept that, right? Maybe I've nicked something, or, you know, not been utterly honest with my timekeeping at work. You know, I might have broken a few speed limits. You know, let's face it, most people who drive a car have broken a few laws of the road over the years, right? And if you haven't, you really are a righteous person. You really, really are. If you've never broken any speed limits or anything, any road, you are, I want to say, the most righteous person that I've probably ever met. You know, I know I'm not being perfect, but bad enough to die? Bad enough to die. And the thing is, it's not just people who are outside the church who struggle with that. It's actually some people inside the church who come to church every week who would say, I'm a Christ follower, I am following Jesus. Still struggle. Why would Jesus have to die? I'm not sure I needed a savior. So I'm not sure I really needed saving. And anyway, isn't God a God of love? Doesn't God love? If he loves me, why can't he just forgive me? And I don't know whether it's ever happened to you. It's only ever happened once. Somebody has turned in the Bible to this passage. Why? Maybe they've heard it at a wedding. 1 Corinthians 13. What does the Bible say about love that God is? I will read it for you. Love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. God loves, he keeps no record of wrongs, so he can forgive me. It's even in the Bible, right? And this, I believe, these are real questions that people have. You might be sat here with that question in your heart. You might have been a Christian a really, really long time, but you're still struggling with it. You'll never tell me, because you think you shouldn't. You might never tell any of your Christian friends, but inside your heart, you're still struggling with this concept that God would have to physically die on a cross for you. And you're going, I'm not that bad. And why couldn't God just forgive me if he loves me? And so what I want to try and do in the next 15 minutes is try and answer that question for you. Why doesn't a God of love just forgive me? And the answer is, God isn't just love. Some people say that, you know, God is love, that's a chief thing. And it's kind of like, and therefore it overwhelms every other part of God's character. That's not true. God is love. And love goes all the way through him. But he's more than just love. And love doesn't, as it were, overcome every other aspect, every other characteristic of God. The Bible says in Leviticus 11:44 that God is holy. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 44, that be perfect, and perfect is be holy as your heavenly Father is holy, some of the older translations. God is, what does holy mean? He means he's pure, he's perfect, he's flawless. He is without evil, which is a good thing, right? We're glad God's holy. He has no evil, intent, only good intent. I'm kind of glad, because God is some other things. God is able. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He, all-knowing in the sense of he knows everything, facts, feelings, he knows everything. And it also, he's all-knowing in the sense he knows exactly how to analyze that data to come up with a perfect, holy result, right? He's on. And he's all places, everywhere. All the time. Nothing happens that he does not know about or see. So it's a good job he's holy, right? It's also a good job he's righteous. What's righteous? He does the right thing and he thinks the right thing. Unlike mankind, we don't always think the right thing or do the right thing. Sometimes on purpose, we want to do something bad, or sometimes just because we don't know. But God never suffers from that. He always knows right. Because he's righteous, so he always does the right thing. He always thinks the right thing. The Bible says lots of the things that God is. He's generous, and right? But he also says, the Bible says that God is just. He judges fairly. He's a righteous judge. He makes sure that justice is done. And we believe in justice, right? You know, if somebody comes into your home, messes it up, pinches all your stuff, what do you want the police to do? Hey, well, we think the police should love them and put their arms around them and say, there, it's okay. We'll keep no record of wrongs and we'll just let you go. No. And it's happened to me a few times. You ring the police up with what hope? What's a hope? They'll get nicked, right? And they'll get justice, they'll get sent to court and they'll have to pay for their crimes. For some of you, you've suffered worse than that. Every week at the moment, people are getting killed. Knife crime's high, right? Every one of those families, and I want to say rightly so, want justice. If somebody's raped, they want justice. We all actually want justice because we want to make sure that that never happens again to anybody else, if possible. Because justice is right. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We know that. We believe that. God believes that too, right? He believes in justice. I mean, fortunately, he's holy and he's righteous. So, and he's able. So he's perfect. He's without evil. He's righteous. He would always make the right decision, and he's able. He has perfect knowledge. So he can do exactly the right thing. He's justice. We believe in justice. We believe in jails, you know? Most of us believe, you might not, but most of us believe that certain crimes that are committed in our country, basically they should go to jail and somebody should politely toss the key away so they can never get out again, right? We think for some crimes, justice should be complete because the danger they could give to the rest of... We believe in that kind of justice, right? So does God. Because he believes in justice and caring for the people that he created. So why doesn't the God of love just forgive us? Because it's not right. It's not justice. And we all of us, I think, will go, yeah, okay, I get that. And it's important we do. It's important. Okay, right, okay. I get that, you might say, but I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer. I'm not one of those bad things. I know I have done minor things, but they're minor things. And when it says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of wrong, sin, bad stuff is death, well, that's a bit OTT. And I've definitely talked to some people said, I would accept it, but death? I mean, that's big stuff, right? I want to ask you a question. If you got a chance to go to Richard Branson is one of my kind of heroes, right? Do you know his island? Let's pretend his island is perfect. Okay? It's nothing goes wrong there. If you go there, he has the facilities to make you completely well always. Nobody ever dies on his island. I'm making this up, right? It's going to get more extreme. So, right? It's a perfect island. It's paradise. And if you got a chance to go to that island, would you take it? Anybody? You can either live on a perfect island for the rest of your life, or you can say, I thank you for those put their hands up. The rest will work on your kind of involvement. I hope you all put your hands up in Lancaster, right? You did? Oh, like Chrissy and Andy are going to talk to you. No, they won't. And we'd all love to live in a perfect world. We just would, where there wasn't any illness, there was no pain, there was no wrong, there was no death, where we could leave our houses open, where we could leave our mobile phones on a tube in London and know if we came back to them, they'd still be there. Where we don't have to watch our handbags and bags. Where if our little ones ran off, we wouldn't worry about where they are because we'd know they'd be well cared for by whoever they bumped into. We'd love to be able to walk in every street, in every place, knowing that we were safe. We would love to live in a world like that. All of us would. We just would. We'd love to live in that world, that perfect world, including where no bad accidents ever happen, where the cars on the road never crashed. My daughter yesterday texted Michelle, I think text or rang, I can't remember now, and said that one of the girls in her year at school, not in her class, but in one of the classes that they have some classes with, was killed, I don't know if it was on Friday or Saturday, by a car. Wouldn't we love to live in a world where that doesn't happen? Tomorrow those girls are going back to the girls' school and the teacher is going to have to somehow figure out how to look after them all. Wouldn't we love not to live in a world like that? All of us would. And even if your life's been amazing so far, you still love to live in a world like that. And for a lot of you, that's not the case. There's a whole stack of stuff in your history that you would love never happened. I'm sure God's used it maybe and you can rejoice in that, but still. We'd love to live in a world like that. In a perfect world, there would be no wrong. There'd be no accidents going wrong. Everybody would follow the rules of respecting property, of honoring relationships, of taking care of other people's. You know, there'd be no rebellion against that which we knew was right to do. But the only way for a word like that to be maintained is to remove anybody who won't follow it. Yeah? So if we live in that world and we have free choice, we can either choose to do it or not to do it. The only way to keep it that way is to remove anybody who would not follow that way, right? That would be the only way to keep that world the way it was. Put them in jail. Put them out of the way. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. What's the only way to remove people from this world? What's the only way? You see, when Paul writes those words, he's not trying to be harsh. He's not trying to be horrid. He's just stating the obvious. That if there's going to be a perfect world, if that is God's aim and objective, which it is, the only way for that to happen is to remove anybody from this world that would spoil it. And the only way to do that is through death. That's our exit. That's just the way it is. Anybody. And you go, you mean just because I didn't respect somebody or just because I cheated on somebody or lied on somebody, then I would have spoiled that perfect world. Yeah, we all would. All of it would have spoiled that perfect world. All of us do wrong, think wrong. The wages of death, the only way to keep that purity is to remove those that would break it, that would damage. God's not being horrible. He's trying to do exactly what we want him to do. We might not want to hear it. And you might say, yeah, but wow. So what I have done, even though it doesn't seem big, it's still the same impact. It's why it's the same for all of us. It's why actually we need a savior. So we're not removed from this perfect world that all of us want to live in. That's why we need a savior. Somebody who would save us from the consequences of what we have already done. Not what we're going to do, but what we have already done. That's why we need a savior. It's why we need forgiveness. Somebody, somewhere, had to stand in our place and say, well, I know they've done that, but I will both stand in their place for what they've done wrong, but also I will help them become that which they want to be, which is to live the righteous life so they can stay in that world. Because I want to be part of that world. I know I've messed up. I know I've rebelled against rules and against the authority. I know that. But I want to be part of the perfect world. I want to live in a world where there's no sickness or death or crying, where accidents don't happen to small. I want to live in a world like that. And that's why Jesus came. It's why he died. It's why he rose again, to give us that opportunity to do that. Because God loves us. Because taking us out of the world, the way it is, that's right, that would have been just, holy, righteous, and fair, but not necessarily loving. Because you see, the passage goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, I finished. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Then it goes on. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. It always perseveres. God loves us. So he has persevered despite the choices that we have made, despite the consequences that should have been ours because of the choices we made. He has persevered to the nth degree by saying, well, there's nothing you can do about what you've just done, but I can, says God. I can do something. I will send me, my son, down to both die to so that the punishment, the justice was done, because justice is due. And as we said before, justice should happen, right? But also, I will come and I will heal you and restore you so that you can actually live in that perfect world. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with a sense of why Jesus had to die, is God's love not enough? This is the reason why. This is the reason why your good neighbors next door need to hear about Jesus. This is the reason why your work colleagues, who in general live a nice life, need to hear about Jesus. It's why we want to encourage, if you love Jesus, to invite people to something at church, that they may hear the good news, because it's so important for them. It's why we encourage you to tell your story about your experience of God so far to as many people as you can. Why we encourage you to tell people the story that I have tried to unpack a little this morning, the good news of what God has done for you. It's why we hold church services. So at the end of each service, we can say, would you like to receive this gift that God offers you? Because he loves you. And even though justice hangs, his love, if you allow him, will pay the justice price, and not just do that, restore you so you can go on to live in this world that you always wanted to.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.